And of course, the You Were Saved hotline, saved by something, 818-817-0021. But what did you think about all the events in Egypt unfolding? Could happen just about anywhere. Could happen here, too, if the division between the haves and the have-nots gets wider and wider and wider. One day, you'll get a lot of that, a lot of unrest. Right now, you won't, but it's there. It's on the horizon. Got to be careful. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines this entire hour on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. You know, we have this incredibly sophisticated equipment here, by the way. So no matter where I am, whether I'm in St. Louis or here, producers can talk to me. My engineers, Dan, can talk to me in my ear. I want you to hear some of the things I hear when I'm on the air. Okay, Tom, just say something like you're talking to me, but I want everyone to hear what I have to go through while I'm talking, conducting a show, and you're doing what you're doing. Go ahead.
No, not that button, George. Line five.
I say, so while I'm talking to you, I get that in my ear. So I have to keep going. I can't miss a beat. In the beginning, this is what would happen. You know, when you're just starting off in radio, you'd be doing this, and then you'd hear that, and you'd stop and try to listen to it while you're on the air. You can't do that. You have to keep talking while they're still talking to you, and you can't miss a beat. So here we go. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Skype line. Robert's in Raleigh, North Carolina on a Skype line. Hey, Robert, go ahead.
Hi, George. I just want to let you know that, I was saved by an angel that literally just stood in my way and held me back with his hand from getting run over in the street as I tried to cross the street in Seoul, Korea, which is a crazy place for traffic to begin with. But I tried to cross the street and literally just felt a presence and a hand that just stopped me from running across the street that I tried to do as fast as I could. But I was just held back right on the sidewalk.
Saved you. Big time.
Yes.
See, I'm convinced there's something out there that does that. I don't think the body has that ability to do it.
No, it wasn't my body. It was clearly felt presence external to my body.
You felt that.
The only encounter I've had with angels. I've also had other angels encounters as far as, you just feel them. You feel their presence, and they let you know they're there, but you can't see them. You can't hear them. But you know they're there. Because you can feel them.
Not your time, Robert.
It's amazing.
Not your time. Thanks. I appreciate that. Ziggy in Winnipeg, Canada. You're up with us. Hey, Ziggy.
Hey, George. How are you?
Okay.
That's good. I got two questions here if I could ask you.
Sure.
First question is, since I'm a Canadian citizen, can any American citizen get a restraining order to get a Canadian citizen not to cross the border?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Is there any way you can find out for me?
We can work. I can't get it for you right now, but I can check.
Well, no, I'm not asking right now.
I would think, we'll check, but I don't think that they can do that to keep you from crossing the border. Now, once you come in, they can get a restraining order against you.
Well, yeah, like if you're 100 feet or whatever.
Yeah, they can do that. Why? Do you have a problem here?
Yes, I do.
What's going on?
How can I put this into words? I made a practical joke to somebody that lives in the States and stuff like that. And I guess it a little bit backfired on me and stuff like that. And I'm not going to say what the joke was because it was really bad taste.
Ah.
Okay.
Right.
I'm not going to say what it is. And the thing is, this certain five, supposed to be five friends of mine that live in the States, they were saying, no, we're going to get, all of us are going to get a restraining order against you so you can't cross the border.
Oh, just over this practical joke that went awry?
Yeah.
And these were your friends?
These were supposed to be my friends.
God, I'm dying to find out what this joke was, Ziggy.
If I could tell you off the air, maybe.
Is it, like, improper?
It's no foul language or nothing like that, no.
Oh, okay.
It's, might be disturbing to some viewers, our listeners, pardon me.
Did you think it was funny?
At the time, maybe a little bit, but not overly.
They obviously didn't think it was funny, did they?
No, they did not.
Okay, did you, from right after you did this, did you realize, oh my gosh, what did I do?
Exactly, and I phoned back, I'll just say this in a nutshell. It was a storage company. I wanted to find out how much it would cost to storage some certain things.
things.
Okay, one certain thing. And they asked me, well, how big or small it is. And they told me, and I said, well, I have such and such a thing. And how much would it cost? They said, well, I'm sorry, we don't storage things like this. I said, oh, okay, well, that's kind of dumb and stupid. But thanks anyway. So I hung up. And I'm going, wait a minute, what was I thinking? So I phoned back twice to apologize. And I guess the person that got a hold of the company's boss, that company's boss, got hold of the authority down there.
And they're going to come after you for that?
Well, the people...
were you talking about, like, storing a body or something?
You know what? You're psychic, George. Yeah.
Oh, so they probably thought you were like some mass serial killer or something.
Well, no, no. Like, okay, all I said was, I might as well just say it. I'm sorry, okay? I'm very nervous still with talking to you, George. Sorry.
Oh, you're doing okay.
Okay, thank you. All I said was, yeah, I have a dead body in the casket. How much would it cost me?
That's not bad.
Yeah, but the thing is, this friend of mine, her sister-in-law worked at a storage place. She got all freaked out and stuff like that.
So you call this place. You had a dead body in a casket.
How much would it cost this store?
Yeah, and they are going to get a restraining order against you now?
Although all five of the friends of mine down there, yeah.
See, maybe they're playing a joke on you now to try
Well, who knows, but they all five of them chewed me out.
I don't think... Now, see, you have to go to court for a restraining order, right?
Okay.
I don't think they're going to win if they really did this to you and they got a restraining order. And you're talking to the judge, and the judge says, so what are you here for? What did Ziggy do? Is Ziggy chasing you with a gun? Is Ziggy chasing you with a knife? Is Ziggy coming to your house? What are you folks afraid of? And they say, well, he called a storage company and he's got a body in a casket and he asked them how much it would cost to store it. They're going to throw it out of court. They're going to laugh.
Course. Like, it would be different if I would say to them, oh, I'm going to dig up a dead body or I'm going to kill somebody and put it in the car.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, I did not say that.
You just simply said, I've got this casket with a body in it. I need to store it for a little bit.
And they got freaked out.
I wonder how much would that cost, by the way.
Probably quite a bit. Can I just get another question, if I may, please?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
You can talk to me all day if you got stuff like that. That's great material. I have you right for the show.
That's what you call one lucky stiff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I don't know if you remember me or not. I was the one that was telling you last year, a couple of years ago, about these dreams I've been having.
Well, I don't know exactly. I get a lot of dream calls.
Okay, about my mother's death and stuff like that?
I remember your name, though.
Okay, but I'm having a recurrent dreams from the 12th of January to the 16th of January every year.
Yes, okay.
I'm still having them.
Still?
Yes.
And I asked you to call back if they were going
to
happen.
I tried to phone back. And you know how incredible it is?
It's tough. You may not be able to get through for another 10 years.
Is there any chance that I could ask you or your producer to give Rosemary my phone number?
Why don't you just send her an email?
I don't have a computer, George.
Oh, you don't have a computer.
And that's why I'm asking if you could give her my number, please.
We will. I'll put you on hold, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that, George.
Tommy, get Ziggy's number, and let's give it to Rosemary. Rosemary's in town next week, by the way, so we will hand deliver it. Okay, let's go next to Eric in Wrightwood, California, first-time caller. Eric, you're up.
Hey, hi, George. How are you?
Okay.
Hey, listen, you had a show a while back about the chemtrails, right?
Yeah, many, but
yeah,
yes.
I want to ask you, what do you know about the chemtrails? Because I have something to tell you about it.
Well, this is what I think. One, it's happening. Two, it's either weather control and modification, or they're spraying us for some reason.
Okay, stop right there.
Of course, we've got the jet vapors and stuff. That's going on, too, mm-hmm. obviously. But I think, personally, it's either weather modification, seeding and stuff, or... they're dumping something on us.
Okay, now you talk about the weather, right?
Yep.
Okay, now this is where I was up in the high desert, which is like going towards Vegas. You know, they have these planes that are flying over, and this was like, I noticed this was before one of these big storms came through, right? Because they had these big snow storms.
Right.
Out in the Midwest.
Huge.
And, huge snow storms. And so I looked up, and I was in a store, and I looked up, and I seen about five or six or seven of these planes, and there's all these huge trails, and they're like, you know, kind of like a straight, like triangular looking, you know, like that, the pattern, you know.
Okay.
And I'm seeing all these, and I thought, well, this doesn't look like a regular airplane that, you know, like the drop of them, they just you know, that it evaporates, you know. And this stuff that they were spraying stayed in the air. I said, I want to watch this. I want to see this stuff if it fizzles that way or what. Actually, George, I'm telling you, I stood there and watched these trails turn to clouds.
That's exactly what they've been doing.
And they turned to clouds, but not like puffy, you know, like the marshmallow type clouds.
No,
you know,
these
these were like flat, like they just spread out and they got wider and wider and wider. And then they just sailed away. And just the wind just pushed them east as it was going east. And I'm thinking, now, this weather control pattern that you're talking about, is it possible that these chemicals, they have some kind of a thing like a cell or some chemical, you know, that is able to, with the cold and something, that it blows up and it has, you know, has the power to, you know?
They could have all kinds of things going on now, Eric. You know, they are in Abu Dhabi, they've been ionizing the atmosphere, and they've been creating rain there. They're doing all kinds of things.
They can do it. They can control the weather. Then.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Chinese during the Olympics said, don't worry about the weather, folks. We're going to take care of that. And they did.
Well, you know, I noticed that they did this, and I'm looking at the weather patterns and they're looking at the news, and there's every time there's a storm coming through from the ocean, because it comes, you know, westbound and then it starts going east, right?
Yeah.
It comes through, so they start making these droppings. And then when the storm comes through, it grabs all this chemical trail and
it's right? happening. The big thing is what's happening to us when that junk comes down to the ground. And we're breathing that in.
But if it's made to make snow or to create these, you know, like they can make a hurricane or something, I mean, there has to be something else to it.
Well, I think primarily what they're trying to do is create moisture, and now it's probably gotten out of hand. and we breathe this stuff. You know, how many people have you seen with respiratory problems? Everybody has trouble breathing these days.
It's just so evil, man.
It really is. Okay, Eric, got to run. We'll take a few more calls here before the break. John is in Beaumont, Texas, and he's up. Good morning, John. Go ahead.
How's it going? Well, okay. I don't think I have to worry about respiratory problems.
No.
I'm smoking a cigarette right now. And I work with silicone to make tombstones.
You make tombstones?
Oh, yeah. We make monuments. So.
Do you etch?
There's always going to be business in that.
Do you etch them, too? Or is it somebody else?
Oh, yeah. We do all the sandblasting and all that stuff.
What are some of the weird things people etch on those things?
We've had a few like tattoos like put on there. We do a lot of Celtic work.
Oh,
stuff
do
like
you?
That.
Okay. What was, did you see Tombstone? They had a great one. It was about here lies less. Tell me in my ear, Tom, what was that?
Excuse
here
me?
Lies less. Four slugs, no more, nor less. Yeah.
That's it. I don't know, man. I'm young. I don't know all this.
Oh, that's a great movie. You got to rent that. That thing's a classic.
But anyways, I wanted to say, you were talking about animals and them being able to sense things.
Yeah.
I'm not like a guru of astral projection by any means. I've only had like maybe about 60 to 100 experiences first 50.
John, that's a lot.
I doubted completely. Like there was no point in telling, you know, anyone about them. But one of them, like I left my body and I was in my room and floated out into my side yard, and my dog was out there, and usually like my dogs are never on the side yard, but I was definitely just hanging out right by him, and he was barking right out, like right at me, and
he sensed
he was
you.
Out there.
Yeah. those animals are so sharp. It really is. All right, John. Hey, thanks. I mean, they truly are. They're remarkable. I mean, they sense things. They feel things. They know inclement weather. Jim Birkeland, geologist, he studies earthquakes. He used to look in the Lost and Found in the newspapers. And if a lot of people had been advertising for their lost animals that had taken off, he said, you know what, we're going to have an earthquake. You got a lot of dogs or cats, for example, that were just missing. He figured that they ran away from that area on purpose because they knew something was happening. And he said, sure enough, he was able to judge when and predict earthquakes coming up just by animals and their movement. I mean, they sense things far better than we. Let's go to Brenda in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. There you go, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I just wanted to share a story about when I was saved one time. We were out on the water in the Keys, and the funny thing is my boyfriend had said to me he had just had a major surgery that he could have died for. He had major cancer in his liver. And anyway, they removed all that, and he said, I have a feeling that we're going to have an encounter with God this weekend. And I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, we met this strange, interesting couple, and we ended up renting a boat together with them, out of a small boat. We went way out, and when we finally got on the bay side, on the ocean side, where we wanted to fish, and I have to tell you that there was only one channel to get out of it from the marina we rented the boat. It was very narrow, and it was very hard to find. We get out there, we just get our lines in the water. Lady and I wanted to swim, and we looked up and saw the dark clouds coming, a big funnel cloud. It was so far away, but even though it was really far away, you could see all the water churning up.
Right.
A big white circle underneath it. Well, we discussed whether we should go if we had any time to fish and everything, and I just wanted to go, and everybody said, let's go. So we just started packing everything up. By the time we packed the stuff up and looked up again, the funnel cloud was on us. Like so close
that
to it.
Fast.
Oh, so it was like it skipped across the water. And so we, he just went into full throttle. We were scared. And then next thing you know, we were so surrounded by a storm, such a bad storm and lightning, everything. And this is an open small boat. Okay. And, that we couldn't see anywhere in the water to be able to find the channel because it was only by vision that we found it.
Oh, my gosh.
We had absolutely no vision. I couldn't see the person next to me anymore. We were holding hands, this lady and I.
You must have been petrified.
Terrified, lightning everywhere. Now, we were Christians. We're all Christians. This man said, started praying, this guy who's my boyfriend, who just survived major liver cancer, he started to sing a song to God. And I was scared. I looked up at him and he had like total faith and he was just going straight forward, full throttle. And suddenly out of nowhere, only around our boat. And I mean, only around our boat, maybe a circle in the diameter of maybe 20 feet if that, with sunshine and total no rain around us. Okay. I know it sounds crazy. No rain around us.
I want to know the name of the song he was singing.
It was the doxology. I forget which one. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Like the old one that you hear in.
Sounds like it worked.
Oh, let me tell you what. And suddenly, right in front of us, of all the places we could have been, because we really didn't have very good direction. We were new at boating. You could see the opening of the channel to get back. And we're hearing people over the radio, like panicking, screaming for help, like asking for people to come and get them.
They all got caught in it.
Uh-huh, and we found our channel and made it back. But the most interesting thing is there was absolutely no rain, only around us. But all outside of that circle, you could just see the same, and the sun was shining on us.
I tell you what, Brenda, it does work indeed. Hey, I'm going to be back with some final open line calls in just a moment. Those of you on hold, just hang there, and those of you calling, we'll get to you. Okay, welcome back, and let's go back to the studio where Tom has another text in for us. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, George, Martha in Rhode Island, she texts in. She says, my daughter was given a doll, and I hate dolls. They creep me out. Am I wrong to take it away from her?
Yeah, I don't think every doll is evil or creepy. This wasn't like Robert the Haunted Doll, was it?
I don't know. I can't tell that from a text.
Okay, well, generally probably not.
Yeah,
if it was a clown doll, maybe.
I wouldn't punish the kid.
No, not at all.
There you go.
All right. Next up, let's go to Tom in Denver, Colorado. There you go, Tom. Thanks.
Hi, George. How are you, sir?
Good.
George, I was calling because you had talked about the video of the space incident in Israel.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've seen, there's a video on YouTube that's been going around. If you type in their search engine, Fourth Horseman in Egypt.
We had that posted. That was eerie, too.
Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff, because there's a lot of people in the Muslim Brotherhood that are talking about attacking Israel if this actually goes, you know, if they're able to assume some sort of power after the transition.
Did it look like somebody could Photoshop that?
Potentially, hard to say.
Yeah.
The one thing, it seems that there appears to be, it's coming on several different news feeds, so several different cameras.
It is weird. It is weird. And for some people who don't know what the Fourth Horseman is, the pale horse in the apocalypse, this is the horse rider that brings death and destruction. And there's a video during this whole Egyptian affair that you can kind of see a ghostly figure of a guy on a horse kind of like floating in and floating out. We had it posted. It should still be up there in the archives at coasttocoastam.com. But it is weird stuff, let me tell you. Michael is in Butte, Montana, west of the Rockies. Michael, take it away.
Hi, George. Always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about those, what you saw through the night vision goggles.
Sure.
Are those like just designs and they look like they're battling? Is that the deal?
They were, first of all, third generation night vision goggles. Had
right.
That greeny, grainy look. And these two objects that I saw were very high up there, and they were making 90-degree turns. Weird. You know, planes don't do that. These things would just, you know, go whoop, and then make a right-hand turn or a sharp left-hand turn, or they'd stop up there, and then they'd take off again. And I saw two of them doing that. They were not together. They were separately. I mean, time between maybe a half hour between, but it was really weird stuff.
Were they geometric shapes?
I couldn't tell the shape. They were just too high up. They were just dots of light.
Right.
But you know, I thought maybe, you know, am I looking at a satellite? Satellites don't do that either.
No, and there's so much talk about that, and then there's people talking about it that it looks like they're actually battling. And I have a theory on that.
Ed Grimsley, the guy who had the night vision goggles, believes there is a battle going on up there. But what is your theory?
Well, it's you know, the Casey books, and it's the one on reincarnation by Noel Langley.
Okay.
And it's on page 139. Can I read you a little chat, a short paragraph?
A little bit, yeah.
It just says, the final Armageddon, said Casey, will not be fought on the earth. It will be fought between the souls leaving the earth and the souls endeavoring to return to it. The souls returning to the God they once deserted, and the lost souls who hope to reject him into eternity by holding fast at all costs to this failing planet. And then, and I come across this all the time, and in Gods and Spacemen in the H&E East by W. Raymond Drake, he talks about the angels of light warring against the powers of darkness in the heavens.
So you think we were looking at souls?
Yeah. Is Armageddon being fought now up there? You know, is that heaven? Is that, you know, is that
maybe
heaven?
Maybe they were demons up there. I don't know what we were looking at. I mean, truly what I saw was unidentified. I have no idea what I was looking at.
Right. That's just my theory. I just wanted to run it by you.
Okay.
All right, thanks, George.
All right, you got it. We'll go next to Norfolk, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Michael, you're up. Hi.
George, it's Michael calling. I haven't talked to you in 27 months.
It has been a while.
It has been a while. George, thank you for what you said at the top of this hour. What's happening in Egypt could happen here, but neither you nor I want it to happen here. And that's why we want Coast to Coast to take over the world. We want it to take over the world in the way that you did earlier this week in the debate that you moderated between Dr. Andrew Wakefield and Brian Deere. Now, regardless of what you might think of these two men, both of them have taken the same bottom line position. Both men are telling us that the biggest threat to the public health may be the health care system itself.
Yes.
And I think our president, our current president, Barack Obama, is taking that position too. However you may disagree with him on the fine points as to how to address this problem.
And how we get there.
Now, I'd like to say this. This program that you moderated took coast to coast and all of talk radio to a whole new height. If there were a Socrates of radio, it would be Art Bell. If Art Bell had a Plato as a disciple, it would have to be George Norris. That's not to flatter you. That's simply to say that Art Bell sacrificed his life to produce this program. It cost him, his family, and it risked his health and a lot of other things. And we have a responsibility to the world, as well as to the person that's on the line waiting to say whatever it is he wants to say. This is very, very important what we're doing here. I'm waiting for part two of the debate. I can't wait for it, because these two men, however you think about their positions, are two of the greatest debaters ever to step forward on radio.
And they were both so good, you don't know who won.
Well, that's true, but the reason why it was good is because of the way you handled it and the post-debate analysis which your panel helped to provide. I'm looking forward to today, to the day when Antonin Scalia will be a regular member to this program, a regular visitor to this program, to help us moderate these debates.
You never know.
And I'm also looking forward. I'll tell you why I say that. Because what we have built here in America is what prevents what's happening in Egypt from happening here. And the major part of that structure is our court system and the way in which we go about determining what is truthful, what is fair, and what is right and just and merciful. These are the things which our court system is designed to do, and I'm looking forward to Tuesday because, you know, we built a tremendous audience here. And this is something that, you know, although I like Diane Reams, I like Charlie Rose, I like people like Tom Ashbrook in public radio. They do wonderfully responsible jobs in their debates. I like Ari Fleischer. I like all these people, but they are not drawing the mass audience to these important issues that Art Bell and George Norrie are drawing to these issues. This is why we must take over the world as a program. And I'm saying that with humility, because next Tuesday, when Damon Vickers comes on, he's going to turn the tables on the position taken by most coast-to-coast guests.
Exactly. He is going to. Let me just mention who he is and what his position is, Michael, for everybody who's listening. He supports the New World Order. Now, Michael's correct. Nearly every guest that we've had on this program in the past is opposed to the New World Order. Alex Jones, all of them. You always have to be wary of that. But Damon Vickers, his book is called The Day After the Dollar Crashes, by the way, believes that the New World Order will usher in a new era of peace and prosperity, and he's our guest Tuesday night. Michael, I've got a couple more calls here before UFO Phil comes rolling in. So let's go to Linda in Medford, Oregon, on the wild card line. Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Good morning, George.
Good morning.
And I was just wondering if you heard from Dr. Morgus.
I have heard from Dr. Morgis. Tom has heard from Dr. Morgis. Tom, why don't you tell us very quickly, give us an update on Dr. Morgis, his condition. I know he was sick for a little bit. What's going on?
He was sick. He's doing much better, and we should have him in another month or so on the program.
He had a stent put in one of his arteries, didn't he?
Yes, he did, and he wasn't feeling that well, but I followed up with it, and he's feeling much better now.
Good. You know, he had a little prostate problem, and he's okay there, too.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, good. Dr. Morgis, I'm glad you brought him up. Dr. Morgis was my boyhood idol. We've played his tapes before. We'll play it again maybe in a week or so, especially when he visited me. And I punched his tooth out. I didn't mean to, but he told me he had this barrier he could block me. And he said, George, punch me. And I know, Dr. Morgis, I don't want to punch you. He said, punch me. And I said, no, I don't want to punch you. He says, George, you got to punch me. And so I walloped him. And you know what? That guard was not working. And out it went. You know, I felt awful about it. You know, because he's up there in age and everything, and he really took it. So let's go to Frank in Tustin, California. Get you in here, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I saw you many times on this History Channel with Linda Howell.
Ah, the Ancient Aliens show.
Yeah.
They're going to do part three.
And even on the thing on the Bermuda Triangle.
Yep.
Okay, I have a theory that answers all the questions that puzzles the scientists.
All right, what is that?
In other words, it explains the mass extinctions, pole reversals, Earth rotation reversals, the Ice Age, the Bermuda Triangle, Dragon Triangle, and it even explains that Siberian mammoth with green vegetation in it.
That instantly froze. Yeah, what is it?
The Earth goes around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So it acts like a generator, and that's what creates the magnetic field on the Earth. And it creates currents in the Earth and in the core. Now, the core, the polarity on it never changes. It's always north is always north, south is always south. But the surface of the Earth can flip around it with...
It's happened before.
From pole to pole, yeah. With Africa as the center. Okay, now there's 6 points. And so every third point... everything's going to reverse. It's going to look like the Earth's rotation changed. It's going to look like the North Pole changed, but it isn't, because the center of the Earth, the solid core of the Earth, is always going to have the same polarity. It's going to always rotate. The rotation is never going to change on that.
Well, you are absolutely right, Frank, and let me tell you something. The magnetic poles are shifting. As a matter of fact, the Tampa International Airport is changing runways to reflect it. Folks are telling me that they're having problems with their GPS devices. There's a guy who works for a satellite company. He puts up the satellite for TV. He said he's noticing a 2 or 3 degree shift. It's starting. It's starting.
I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century.
And for Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.